we present the News Quiz, coming to you today from the Purcell Rooms on London's South Bank, with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from The Times, read by Neil Sleat.
A woman from Cheshire has won thousands of pounds worth of damages after falling down an open drain at an event organised by the Health and Safety Executive.
And our thanks to Ruth Farrier for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Paul Sinha. Opposite them on my left, Imran Yusuf and Fred McCauley. Jeremy, why won't a million people be feeling the benefit?
Oh, this is Irritable Duncan Syndrome's new ruse for his scheme for bullying the workless into thankless, miserable, badly paid jobs by withdrawing their benefits. I know it's fashionable to say that work is very good for people's sense of self-discipline and independence and self-esteem and moral fibre and believing they're making a contribution, have a stake in society. But I don't feel able to make that statement because I do this. Similarly, I don't think David Cameron is very well placed because he's a man in his early 40s who could retire now and still live comfortably for the rest of his life. So he's not terribly well placed. But there is this myth that the thing that's holding Britain back from regaining the empire is this huge underclass of sort of sewer-living people who are sucking the lifeblood out of our proud country. And people have got this idea because they see Jeremy Kyle. Now, Jeremy Kyle, it's, you know, these people are created in laboratories. It is very hard to watch Jeremy Kyle's show without becoming right-wing, because you do lose all faith in humankind. Basically, Jeremy, I am unable to work because I suffer from dandruff. And I have 17 kids because I cannot wear a condom because of post-traumatic stress caused by a bubblegum explosion when I was 4. And you see these people and you think, who's going to want to employ... What are they? They could be the before photograph in dental studios is about all that they could... But apart from that, what are they going to do? And what are your qualifications? I've been having an affair with my stepmother. I see.
That's the nearest I've ever heard you sound like Michael Gove, can I just say?
The thing is, people say, well, it doesn't pay them to work because they're on benefits. Jobs shouldn't be that badly paid, should they? If getting a job means you're worse off, there is something wrong with the job, I think. Call me old-fashioned.
But I think it's...
Didn't the Prime Minister say that we are suffering because a lot of these people are trapped in a fog of dependency? And I quite like these weather-related expressions. Here we are, ensnared in a mist of disillusionment and governed by a shower of numpties.
Do you think it's odd that Ian Duncan Smith is the Work and Pensions Secretary? I mean, the chances in the future of us leaving one and being able to enjoy the other, it seems... Surely ought to be separated out. Paul, have you ever been out of work? Have you done strange jobs?
Strange jobs? Well, yeah. I was a GP. That's a general practitioner for...
Gina, when did you became a stand-up comic?
Yeah. I was a GP for a number of years in some of the poorest areas of London, it has to be said, and so I worked a lot with people with no hope, no aspiration, no dreams, no nothing. And I looked at them and I just thought, yep, that's the life I want, and I gave it up to be a stand-up comic. So...
Your parents,
it taught me quite a lot.
Please tell me that your parents... My daughter is training to be a doctor as we speak. I hope she's doing it as we speak, not mucking about. And I shall cry, I mean, forever, if I've spent all that money and she decides then. I don't know how she's going to be a doctor. Find a kidney, she can't find her shoes. The government has proposed its welfare reform bill, which includes plans to combine all work-related benefits into one universal credit to be known as gruel. There will now be a benefits cap of £26,000 per family, which in some state-funded households will only cover the cost of the corgis' food. Points to Jeremy. Paul, which whistleblower was blowing hot air?
This is a whistleblower called Curveball. What a great name. It's not a new sport in the 2012 Olympics. It's something very different. It's the nickname of an Iraqi gentleman who was a CIA informant. And it turns out that he was the man that told the USA that Iraq was building biological weapons. And so Colin Powell listened to this man, and on the basis of this, he went to the United Nations and gave a big speech to the mass delegates of the United Nations. And the United Nations all sort of combined and went, Colin? Shouldn't it be Colin? And and then it turned out that the USA went to war because of this one man. Now, you know, I don't want to knock people that build their lives on the fantasist rantings of a single human being. After all, that is organised religion in a nutshell. But it seems amazing that anyone could blame one person for them going to war. But for me, the best thing of it is that this man, this whistleblower, curveball, faces possible prosecution in Germany because they have a law that makes warmongering illegal.
Yeah. It's a recent law.
It's a fairly recent law, I think.
It's extraordinary because his excuse that he gave is that he just told the German Secret Service what they wanted to hear. And you think, well, you could have thought of something else. Sausages are great. Having a sense of humour is not everything.
Was he just driving a cab and the head of the German Secret Service happened to be in the back and he's just going, of course, you know what they've got over there in Iraq? They've got this anthrax bomb that's a million miles high. And he said, oh, my goodness, we'd better tell this straight away to our friends in America.
Is that the German reply?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, just checking.
Why is he admitting it, though? You'd think he'd just stick to his guns and not say, you know that war you've had in Iraq and that? I made all that up. Yeah. You're angry, aren't you? Yeah.
It is a bit scary, though. I mean, is that what intelligence is now? It's just asking a bloke.
Well, of course it's not, is it? They would have gone to war anyway. The idea that one person is to blame for this entire operation is absolutely ludicrous. I mean, 100,000 civilians in Iraq lost their lives. Thousands of British and American soldiers have lost their lives. There's no way they would have gone on one man's word.
No, ridiculous.
They're just scapegoating one person for their own idiocy. If anyone should be done for warmongering, it's not this man. It's people a lot more powerful than him.
Jeremy and I were talking about some gigs that we may or may not have done in the past. Would we do a Royal Variety performance? No, because they've never asked. But I did, in 2003, go out and entertain the troops in Iraq. Yeah.
Good for you.
Naively, I had assumed it would be Allied troops, but... tough gig. No sense. You talk about the Germans not having a sense of...
Maybe the fact that his evidence was so unreliable was the reason why they thought, well, we will have a war, but we're not sure of the evidence it's based on. So as a compromise, we'll have the war, but we won't win it.
They were just being nice, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we'll go in, we'll mess our whole country up, get Al-Qaeda in, because they've never been here before, get them involved, because it's nice to get everyone involved, and then screw
That's
up
the big society.
Create...
Iraqi defector and chemical engineer Rafid al-Janabi, codenamed Curveball, has admitted he fabricated stories about biological WMDs back in 2000 in order to secure his family's political asylum in Germany. An investigation in 2003 found that Curveball placed last in his university class when he claimed the place first and that he had been jailed for embezzlement. This made him an unreliable source in the eyes of American intelligence and a promising candidate for a British peerage. 2 points to Paul. Imran, who got mail, not a medal?
This would be something to do with the British soldiers who've been fired by email while serving overseas. Nowadays, everybody on their mobile phone or on their iPod have got their mail, so they could be like in the middle of it and suddenly, you know, di-ding. One sec, Mr. Taliban. All right, yeah, just, I'm done. I'm over. Sorry, guys. It's like, yeah, just I'm not in it. We're not being paid. I'm not being paid to shoot you. It's walked off. And, you know, I think video game developers are going to have to take this on board because the next Call of Duty game is going to have to kind of put this into the next COD. Where you're running around as this British SAS soldier shooting at people in Afghanistan. Suddenly this email pops up saying, sorry, you've been fired. And then you've got to quit the level, even though you were meant to find Osama bin Laden. And then the developers come out and tell you he was never in the game in the first place.
Soldiers do when they're sacked? Do they send their CVs off to other armies? How does it work?
But the Taliban are hiring nowadays.
if it's possible to feel sorry for David Cameron, and it's difficult, but if it's possible...
We're going to work at it all evening.
I mean, he keeps talking about this big society, and every time he mentions it, somebody out there goes and behaves like a heartless, horrible person. It's like when John Major said, back to basics. You knew within a week a Tory MP would be found in bed with a marmoset. It was just... I don't actually know what a marmoset is, but it sounded right. It sounded right for the joke.
Oh, you haven't lived.
And believe me, Jeremy, I have. And you just know that every week that David Cameron mentions the big society, something like this will happen. You need to drop the slogans, otherwise you'll end up getting hanged by the slogans.
See, I know you said a lot of very sensible things. I really got stopped at marmoset and the whole image. The army has apologised after 38 soldiers learnt they were to lose their jobs via an email sent from the Army Personnel Centre. Fortunately for the soldiers, the next message they received was from an African prince with a business proposition sure to earn them millions. Patrick Mercer, a Tory MP and former army officer, described the men as the backbone of the army. They're great. So now both the government and the army are completely spineless. So well done, us. 2 points to Imran. Fred, why is it all fun and games until someone brings you the bill?
This is 2012, or as we in Glasgow call it, the rehearsal for the Commonwealth Games in 2014. And you can now register if you want to buy tickets. You're not actually buying tickets. It's a bit like a ballot.
Yeah.
You know, having said that it's just a rehearsal for 2014, we are actually getting some of the events in Glasgow. So you can imagine just how cock-a-hoop we are that Hampden Park, our national football stadium, is going to be hosting women's football matches at the Olympic Games, which might see the return to mainstream television of Andy Gray.
The very first event in the whole of the Olympics is going to be women's football. It's going to happen in Cardiff because nothing will help to convince people more that the sport isn't being marginalised than by holding it 2 days before the opening ceremony in a different country.
I'd like to point out, as a Londoner, that I'm very excited by the whole thing.
And
it's not the same as the Commonwealth Games. Much as I'm glad that Glasgow's got the Commonwealth Games, the Commonwealth Games is an event where essentially it was founded on the concept that Britain raped and pillaged the resources of countries all over the globe. And on the day that they left, they went, oh, sorry about that, but we're going to have a sports day every so often. Would you like to come? It'd be like Germany having an event every 4 years for Jews, gypsies and homosexuals. It's a...
To that. The food would be good, great costumes, and it would be really well organised.
And yes, it's going to be expensive, and so I understand why people will moan, but the point is, France really wanted it. That's what we've got. That's what we've got to remember in all of this. We've got it. We've got it. We should celebrate it. Yes, it's expensive. £725 you might have to pay to watch the men's 100 metres final. For that price, I could fly on a plane to Sydney or get a train from London to Liverpool. So
some of the prices, though, some of the prices are unbelievable, but the highest price is £2,012, isn't it?
Yep.
Which is coincidental. Honestly, for that money, I'd want lane two in the 100 metres. I really would.
That I would pay to watch. I don't know if I tell you.
The thing is, I'm terribly polite, and I'd be going, no, after you, honestly.
I don't know how many events I'm going to go to, although I have registered. But the thing is, it's going to be in London. If you were born after 1948, it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. The citizens of 205 different countries will be living in London. Now, admittedly, 195 currently live in London. So it's not... for me, I'm excited. And the most intriguing one, I think, is beach volleyball.
I love that.
Because...
I'm going to go, I've already decided, I'm going to go to the opening ceremony, because that would be rather jolly. I'm going to go to the beach volleyball, because, you know, who wouldn't? And the random drug testing, that's it, those are my...
Do you know where the beach volleyball is?
I do. It's going to be at a Horse Guards Parade.
Horse Guards Parade, which is one of the weirdest things imaginable. They're building an artificial sand thing in Horse Guards Parade. And I wondered how this happened. And it turned out that originally it was going to be in Brighton. And then they realised that Brighton lacked the two things necessary for beach volleyball. Number one, a beach. And number two, a large group of heterosexual men. So...
There is a company which has been selling tickets illegally. I think the giveaway was they were selling tickets for hide and seek as one of the events, but I think...
Do they have egg and spoon at the Olympics?
They should have. They always have some random thing. The Paris 1900-something Olympics, they had poodle clipping. It's absolutely true. Are you a sporty person, Imran? I can't tell.
Yeah, I am, but poodle clipping, as if in, what, like driving up really close and just, like, running over just on... Some like kind of deranged version of Mario Kart going on there. So, no, I am. I
do you know we clearly live in very different parts of London? The timetable and ticket prices for the 2012 Olympic Games have been released, with tickets ranging from £20 to £2,012. Tickets for oversubscribed events will be decided by ballot, which is worrying after how well we ran the last one. I only like the Winter Olympics. I like that one where that housekeeping on ice that they do with the... And at the end of round one, the scores are Imran and Fred have got 4 points, but Jeremy and Paul are in the lead with 5. We start round two with a cutting from the BBC News website.
The show began with a tribute to Aretha Franklin, who's recovering from an operation performed by Christina Aguilera.
And our thanks to Paul Moylan for sending us that. Jeremy, which boom is going bust?
Baby boomers, which is, I think, people born after the Second World War in the full flush of peace, are going to have to pay for their own care in old age, so that more and more people are going to have to sell their house in order to pay for living in an old people's home. Because Fred, in Scotland, don't old people get free... Everything's better in Scotland, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
The old people just get free...
Free everything.
Free stuff in nursing homes.
Yeah. Don't call them nursing homes.
What do you call them? Bidewee cottages. Shortcake palaces. But yeah, basically, we're all... Our generation, Dayut, the people under 70, are going to... And most people... There are more people now over 60 than have ever existed in France, statistically. therefore, everyone's going to be in residential homes where televisions are on very, very loud, which will be deafening.
Do you know that a place in the average nursing home costs £36,000 a year? Honest to goodness, my parents, they're complaining when I charge them £200 for Christmas. It's just... unbelievable. I tell you what I'm leaving my children. I'm leaving them a large pile of laundry and a sarcastic note. Think about it. When I go on a green funeral, my partner's going to put me in the recycling box, and we've already tried. It's quite roomy, actually. It's surprising.
I've decided I want to be scattered. Not cremated, just scattered.
The residential homes, I mean, if you've ever been in them, that mean, forgive me if anybody is listening in one. They're horrible and depressing, and I never, ever want to be in one. And at some point in my life, that attitude is going to change, because I remember saying much the same about zip-up cardigans.
Our nightmare would be that we're put in a home for old entertainers.
We are here.
Can't we all just be on Last of the Summer Wine in crowd scenes?
My dad had a sort of thing about he didn't want to get old, and he carried a cartoon from Punch for years in his wallet, and it was a cartoon of two old men in those chairs that they have in old people's homes, you know, with the sides so that you can't fall out, the sort of wing and things. And one man says to the other, he says, just think, if we hadn't given up drinking and smoking, we'd have missed all this.
Yeah.
Baby boomers may have to fund their own retirement care after a government commission ruled out compulsory insurance. Head of the commission, Lord Warner, dismissed any prospect of universal state provision, saying we're not in the 1940s anymore. Can I just say that I beg to differ? It was only this morning the council took my railings away to make a Chinook. And that is the big society in action, ladies and gentlemen. Makes you proud. Or angry. I always get those two mixed up. I can't say. 2 points to Jeremy. Paul, whose firewood sale has gone up in flames?
Oh, this must be the government. It's slightly groundhog news quiz for me because 3 weeks ago this story emerged that the government were going to sell off the forests, and I appeared on the show and complained that as a single gay man I'd have no cruising areas left.
Is that where the expression fruits of the forest comes from?
It's exactly where it comes from.
Taking me 3 weeks to think.
Timed Paul's return with the story.
It looks like the government have decided to do a U-turn on the sale of the forest. And I think David Cameron this week, it may have been his greatest week because he's looked at his first significant U-turn and thought, I'm going to take this like a man. I'm going to face the possible wrath or the possible derision of other MPs. He looked at the situation and went, I'm sending Caroline Spelman in. It's a brilliant, brilliant bravery on his part.
Are you a forest lover, Imran? I don't mean in the way that Paul is. I meant to...
Forests are pretty cool. For some reason, during my early 20s, my friends and I used to... This is going to sound really dodgy now, but I need to get at. We'd go forest walking in the middle of the night just for a laugh because it was scary.
Just boys, presumably.
In retrospect, now I should have started this. A little bit more clever. And we thought it was pretty cool. We were hoping to see like a werewolf or a Bigfoot or something like that in useful naivety. And my friend almost got attacked by a horse. And so that was the last time we did that.
In what forest was this?
It was near Ruislip Lido. Not so much as a forest, it's just loads of trees. But I didn't want to sound like I'm not being out, you know.
I mean, I can confirm that walking the streets of Ruislip is scary enough for any human being. You wouldn't need to go to the forest.
That's so sweet, just a few trees, but there was this one rogue horse.
It was behind a fence, but he walked up so close to it that it... The horse could have, like, licked him, which could have been kind of disgusting. We all laughed at him. So it didn't happen to me, it happened to a friend, I promise. It's just...
I know a joke about a forest. Snow White is being led into the forest by the woodman, and she says, I'm scared. He says, you're scared. I've got to walk back on my own.
Same again in Scotland. It doesn't count, does it? None of this affects you. Scotland's turning into sort of a little dreamland.
I know. And water. We still own our own water.
Does that mean that you don't pass water until you get back to Scotland? You don't want the English to have any of your water.
Do you know, I once went to Buxton. I was in a very nice restaurant, and I said, I'll have some of your fine Buxton water. He said, we've run out. We've got Highland Spring. the Environment Secretary, Caroline Spelman, has abandoned plans to sell off 250,000 hectares of public woodland and been forced to apologise a mere 3 weeks into a 12-week consultation period. An independent panel is going to be established to consider the future of forestry in England, which is terribly pleasing because it's going to be a wood panel. 2 points to Paul. Imran, when it comes to the price of alcohol, who is in need of a top-up?
This is... In order to stop people binge drinking, right, the government want to introduce like a minimum price per unit, which probably isn't going to work.
Well, there's a reason why it isn't going to work, and that it was a survey that came out this week. Fred, you're looking like you do know about this.
No, I'm just dying for a drink. Again, Sandy, different in Scotland. We're ahead of you. We've tried this. We had discussions in our parliament about whether we should have minimum pricing, and they're going against it, despite fairly serious public opinion that we desperately need to do something in Scotland. We need to take drastic measures, but because they didn't get the minimum pricing thing through, we're going to take drastic half measures.
I used to like, they used to have those, do you remember those posters where they showed you the liver of a very heavy drinker?
Oh.
Do you remember those? I think it was meant to put you off drinking. It always made me think, do you not fancy a haggis?
I don't think livers are particularly attractive whether you drink or not. I think there's a reason why they're kept inside the body. Mind you, the same doesn't apply to testicles, does it? I think if there were any sense in evolution at all, they'd be tucked away somewhere out of sight, wouldn't you? You want an appendage that looks like you've got W.H. Auden on one side and Keith Richards on the other, do you?
just see them as a challenge for Botox.
So many days with you boys and I go home so happy with my life choices. The government's proposed minimum price of alcohol is set so low that had it been in force over the last 3 months, it would have stopped only one supermarket drink deal in over 3,500. The Guardian conducted a survey of more than 3,600 alcohol promotions at four major supermarkets, but woke up in the morning with no recollection of having done so. So, 2 points. And actually, I'm going to get 1 point, Imran, because you kind of knew it. Do you think that's fair? But you're new to the show. I don't want to be mean to you.
I'm not
going to
argue. I want to be invited back.
Isn't that sweet? And he brought biscuits and everything. He's 2 points to Imran. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along, Mr. Hardy.
This was sent in by Christopher Thornhill. And it says, I thought you'd enjoy a chuckle at this circular sent to all staff at Loughborough University. Like many universities, the buildings at Loughborough are named after esteemed alumni. And this says, facilities management, notice of minor works. Asbestos debris has been found in the undercroft of Paula Radcliffe, which requires removal.
Mr. Sinha.
This is from Michael Collier in Cheshire, who spotted this in The Independent. Rather worrying developments in Japan, where you may know that a volcano called Mount Shinmadake is currently erupting. The volcano on Japan's southernmost island of Kyushu spewed smoke and ash up to 9,800 feet into the air. Many people evacuated yesterday after volcanic ash fell from the sky.
Mr. Yusuf.
Got a page from the Oxford Farming Conference from Robert Sutton, who's a farmer from Newark, Nottinghamshire. There's two articles right next to each other, completely unrelated, but the first one says, world's population in need of control, and the article next to it says, cull decision, date set.
Mr. McCauley.
Mine comes in from a GP in Birmingham, and it's Neelam's Kebab House, which advertises, amongst other things, pizzas, balties, tikkas, burgers and vegetarians.
Let's take a look at the final score. Imran and Fred have got 8 points, but this week's winners are Jeremy and Paul with 10. Before we leave you, here is a cutting from a press release for a supermarket chain sent to us by Caroline Brown.
There's a whole new way to show your love this Valentine's Day, with a heart-shaped cucumber from Sainsbury's.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Jeremy Hardy, Paul Sinha, Imran Yusuf and Fred McCauley. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news was read by me, Neil Sleaze. The chair's script was written by Lucy Clark, Simon Littlefield and Gareth Quinn, with additional material by John Hunter and Ben Partridge. The producer was Victoria Loig.